We like to compare ourselves to other people and make ourselves look so much better. Well, at least I ain't no murderer. I ain't no thief. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a murderer. You see, in other words, you're supposed to compare yourself to Jesus, because that's who God's comparing you to.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Fulfilling the Law, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Praise God. We are in the book of Matthew still, and we are in chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, fulfilling the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law, until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our hearts today to receive your word. We thank you, God, for your word. I ask that you will anoint me to speak it and not my own. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks and we ask, amen. You may be seated. In these verses, Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount by explaining how he fulfills the law. Jesus also takes this opportunity to rightly interpret the law. Now, when we go to the Old Testament, we start reading in the first five books called the Torah, the law. The law was put into place to show us that we couldn't do it. It's a mirror. You see, when I look at the Ten Commandments and I go down those Ten Commandments and I look at them, I say to myself, well, I break every one of those. I can't do it. That's what they were intended to show you. Now, if you're looking at the Ten Commandments or anything of the law in the Old Testament, and you're saying, yeah, that's me, I'm doing that, you got a problem. Because Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law, not get rid of it. The other problems that Christians can fall into is that once they're saved, they start thinking, you know, I don't really have to listen to the law because I'm saved by grace. That's true. You are saved by grace, but it's not true that you're not to listen to the law. Because Jesus said that if you relax even the smallest one of these or teach other people to do it, you're going to be called least in heaven. So your salvation isn't lost because he's telling you that you're in heaven, right? But you're going to be called least. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to see Jesus, I want some rewards. We talked about that last week. But I want some rewards when I go see the King of Kings. I don't want to be the least in heaven. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be in the last in line. That's just me. I want him to say, well done, my faithful servant. I want to please him for the sake of pleasing him, right? But Jesus is saying that if we go about our lives as Christians and we're relaxing the law, we're going to face some troubles, right? And I know for a fact that being a Christian doesn't excuse me to break the law. In fact, it makes me want to try even harder to please God. Not because I want salvation, but because I want to do good works for God. I want to bring other people to him. And the only way I can bring other people to Jesus is by showing how he fulfilled the law in my life. If I'm not reflecting that, I'm not really calling people towards Christ, am I? By my example Okay? The Old Testament still stands. The Old Testament still stands. You see, you can't separate the old from the new. Testament means agreement, if you will. You see, there's an old agreement and there's a new agreement. You see, God had a contract with the Israelites. He had a deal with them. Basically, he was saying, if you be perfect, I'll save you. But they weren't perfect. So Jesus enters, and he is perfect, and he fulfilled everything in the law. Not one single part of the law was broken by Jesus. He fulfilled the contract. And if you believe that, if you accept that, then you fulfill the contract that God made. You see? But if you don't believe that Jesus did that, then you're in violation of the contract, and your end is null and void. You're not fulfilling your end. You see what I mean? So he says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus came to walk the law, to be a perfect example without blemish. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. That's when Christ returns, right? There are some who say that the Old Testament is no longer valid, but Jesus clearly tells us that every word of God still stands. I can't remove it. You can't remove it. And God hasn't removed it. If you take away the Old Testament, you take away the purpose of Jesus coming. Why do we need Jesus? When we look back in the Old Testament, we find out why. We are to trust the Word of God because the Word of God is true. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament law, and only through Jesus do believers fulfill it. See, if you come to God and you tell him you're a good person, you're a liar. I'm a liar. There is no one good but God. You cannot come to God and say, well, this is what I do, and this is how much of it I do, and this is how often I do it, and name all these good things, and expect that he is going to honor that. Not going to happen. Because there's no way you can live up to the standards of the Old Testament. It was given to you so that you can watch in a mirror how desperate you are for a Savior. Lord, I need you is the song we sang here today. I need Jesus because he saves me from sin. I'm covered in sin until I come to Jesus and he cleanses me of it. Jesus tells us that we can count on the word of God, that it will never fail us. Isn't that comforting? You see, you might wake up one day and think, man, life is so bad. It's so awful. Everything's going wrong. But I promise you this. When you read the Word of God in faith, you will always find that it never fails you. Every promise, every hope, everything in the Bible is there. And it's never going to fail you. Too often we don't turn to the Bible for our problems. We turn to the world. We lean onto our own understanding instead of acknowledging God. But the Word of God, if applied correctly to your life, will never fail you. Jesus fulfills the law in several ways. He obeyed the law perfectly and taught its correct meaning. See, the Pharisees were teaching, if you do everything perfect, well, God will save you. Well, come on. Who's perfect? If they were teaching this nonsense, and they were believing it about themselves, they were actually believing how great they were. And that's why he said that your righteousness needs to exceed the Pharisees and the scribes, because they were hypocrites. They were talking about how perfect they were and how perfect you need to be. Okay, so Jesus obeyed the law perfectly, and he taught its correct meaning. The correct meaning of the Old Testament is that you can't do it, that God's going to send the Messiah and he's going to do it. And all of those who trust in him will be saved. He will one day fulfill all the Old Testament types and prophecies. Now, what that means is that not everything has come true yet. Jesus has not returned to deliver us, right? You see, some Christians are kind of confused. If I'm a Christian, why is life so bad? Well, Jesus addressed that. You are in the world. Well, what's the world full of? Hate, murder, slander, abuse, you name it, sin. If you're in something, you're exposed to it, it's going to affect you, right? And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're walking perfectly. Amen? Am I speaking some truth today? So Jesus is going to come and he's going to pull us out of this mess. But those who didn't believe, they're going to be left behind for the judgment. He provides a way of salvation that meets all the requirements of the law. In the old days, and I've said this before, but you can never say it enough. When you were convicted of a crime and you went before the king, somebody who was innocent, who obeyed the laws of the land, could step forward and take your punishment. So if you were sentenced to death, and somebody came to court and said, I will take the blame, the king would look at the perpetrator and ask, do you agree? If that person said no, then the perpetrator was punished. But if they looked over at this innocent person and said, yeah, let him die for me, then both agree, and the king would take the innocent one and let them die for the guilty. It's true. Don't you know that's what Jesus does for us? You're guilty. I'm guilty. We're guilty. And don't you know that God has already passed judgment on us? The book of John says this is the judgment. See, we're not going to court when we meet judgment day. What's happening is we're going to a sentencing hearing. The sentence is going to be carried out on that day. We're already condemned if we're not with Jesus. We're pardoned if we have Jesus because he stepped up and said, Father, I've taken their blame and they agreed to it. And he sees our blemishes no more. And he already was sentenced to death, wasn't he? He already died on the cross. You see how this is working out? You see how he fulfilled the law? When you break the law and you go to court, someone's got to pay a ticket, don't they? Once the judge is talking to you, you rarely ever get out of there scot-free when you're guilty. Amen? Don't you wish you had somebody up there saying, I'll pay the ticket? But see, this is even better than getting the ticket paid because unlike getting your ticket paid, Jesus actually wipes your record clean. When God's looking at your record, the Father, he doesn't even see your record. He doesn't see any trespasses. You got a clean slate. Whew. If that doesn't make you jump out of the pew and say thank you, Jesus, and make you want to live a life for him, I don't know what will. You've been given a clean slate in front of God the Father. Christ has wiped it clean. Amen? Number two, we should take God's word seriously. Matthew 5:19, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So let's look at this for a minute. I'm a Christian, but when the pastor's not around and the church members aren't around, I can live any way I want to. Man, I'm not watching you. You think I'm coming to your house spying on you? Now, God's watching you. He's paying attention. And some Christians come to me, I'm not being blessed. I don't understand why I'm a Christian and I'm not being blessed. And as you talk to them, you find out that they're not doing what God asked them to do. They're breaking God's law. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about perfection. And I'm not talking about works to get you into heaven. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about victorious living in Christ. We're talking about being blessed in your life here and now. Because, you know, you're still in the world, right? Jesus says you're not of the world. So why are you acting like you're of it? Why are you acting like you're still of the world when Jesus pulled you out in the sense that you no longer belong to that group? It's because Jesus said that we're lukewarm. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe enough to do what he tells me. And you got one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. You want to be saved like a saint, but you want to live like the devil. And Jesus has a problem with that, because what you're doing is you're relaxing the law. You're living any way you want to. That's not repentance. That's not turning away. Repentance is turning away, changing your mind about it. And then he says, you shouldn't be teaching people to do this stuff, right? Well, how do I? I don't teach anybody to do it. Yeah, you do. They're watching you. Every time you tell somebody you go to church and that you're a Christian and you don't live up to what God asks you to do, guess what happens? You're teaching them that it's okay to act like that. Jesus demands a commitment to both the least and the greatest commandments, and he later condemned those who confused the two. When you're a Christian, you represent Jesus. Christian, the word means Christ-like. How can you call yourself a Christian? How can I call myself a Christian when I ain't acting like Jesus? I got on a skateboard one time, and I was fooling around, and I quickly fell. And the kid skateboard, the kid that the skateboard belonged to looked at me. He's like, you want to be all acting up like you can do that? I was acting. I was like, ooh, you don't know how good I am. I just ain't going to show you because I'll embarrass you. And I was teasing him a little bit till I fell. And he knew right away that I wasn't what I was pretending to be. Now, I was just teasing somebody with their skateboard. But he saw right through me. And as Christians, people see right through us when we are relaxing the law and we're teaching other people to do the same thing. Boy, you want to make God mad, go around teaching people that they can disobey his word. Okay? Three, Jesus sets the standard. Now, this is so good. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, we got a problem. I've got it, you got it, people got it. We like to compare ourselves to other people and make ourselves look so much better. Well, at least I ain't no murderer. I ain't no thief. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not a murderer, a thief, or a liar. Problem is, you're comparing yourself to someone else. Compare yourself to Jesus and say that. You see, in other words, you're supposed to compare yourself to Jesus because that's who God's comparing you to. See, God wants to compare you to his son. And if God looks at you and he doesn't see Jesus shining through your life, you have no faith in his son. You don't believe it. You didn't accept it. The deal's off. Okay? So Jesus sets the standard. Now, the Pharisees and scribes, they were great people of the Word of God. Did you know to be a Pharisee and a scribe, you know what the requirement was? You had to recite word for word the first five books of the Old Testament. Some people can't even name the first five books. Some people don't even know there are five books of the law. There's more than that in the Old Testament. But the first five books of the law. They had to recite every single word of it. You can know the Word of God and not know Jesus. You hear what I said? You can recite the Word of God and still not know Jesus. So that doesn't impress God. It's doing, right? Put your money where your mouth is. Walk it, don't talk it. Praise God. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were all show. Their lips would praise God, but the hearts were far from him. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. They walked around in nice clothing, in perfection of outer appearance, but inside they were full of dead bones. They were like whitewashed tombs, Jesus called them. Looks all pretty on the outside, but rotten on the inside. And so Jesus fulfills the law, and he saves us from that kind of hypocrisy as long as we remain in him. Only through Christ Jesus do believers reach the level of righteousness God demands. So if you're standing before God and you're naming off all the good things that you did, they're like filthy rags to him. He's not impressed. So then you say to yourself, well, then what's the use of obeying the law? You want to be blessed? Because the blessings that you receive in this life are in accordance to your obedience to God in this life. See, we're not talking about salvation right now. We're talking about walking the word of God to be blessed. You want God to bless you? Go out and bless somebody, because you reap what you sow, right? You got to start planting some seeds if you want a crop. You don't look in your backyard for apples if you haven't planted apples. So you don't want to be proud in spirit, but rather poor in spirit. You don't want to say, I got it going on, God. Go help this other guy. I'm okay. I don't need a savior. No. You need to look at the law and say, oh my gosh. Look what I'm doing. Thank you, God, for your grace. Because when you look at the law and you see how messed up you are in accordance with this, with obeying it, man, that should bring your spirits down. It should convict you. Don't be haughty about how holy you are, but rather mourn about how sinful you are. When people say, I go to church and I read my Bible and I witness to 3 people a week, you should be mourning because you look at the law and you see how badly you need Jesus. Think about how perfect and precious Jesus is for just a moment. If you really want to get some mourning in your heart, think about the video that I show every week about the beating that he received, about the crucifixion that he went through, and he didn't deserve it. But he did it because he loves each and every one of us so much. And if you don't think that God punishes sin, watch that video again. He punishes sin. He took it out on Jesus. He took it out on Jesus because he deals with it. And if we don't come to Jesus, he will deal with our sin. He will punish us because we have not taken on Jesus Christ. So I mourn when I think about what Jesus did for me, because he had to go through with that because of me and because of people like me. We caused his death because of our disobedience. Don't put your interests ahead of God, but rather sacrifice your own desires for him. And see, this is a hard one because we live in America, right? And America teaches that you need to get ahead. And the only way you get ahead in this country is you step on the heads of other people. Kick the people on the ladder, get them off and go to the top. Amen? But I want to tell you something. The Christians, we don't get ahead like that. That sets us back. Because we have a different boss than the earthly boss. You see, Jesus bought you with a price. See, you were dead in your trespasses. That means that you were dead and buried and on your way to hell. But when Jesus came along and you accepted him, he bought you out of the grave. He bought you out of the grave. He quickened your spirit. He filled you with the Holy Spirit. He gave you a new life in Christ. And your life, the Bible says, is not your own anymore. If God sacrificed his son's life, his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and now he has your life that is bought with a price, what do you think he's going to do with it? He wants to sacrifice it. But Jesus was willing. Jesus said, nobody takes my life, but I willingly lay it down. If you're not willing to lay your life down for Jesus Christ, you're unworthy to follow him, the Bible says. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible teaches. You're to lay your life down for Christ. And you know what? Only through a sacrifice of your own life to serve God selflessly will God bless your life. Because listen, while you're on the road of obedience, God has all kinds of blessings around you. And he will give you everything and everyone that you need to accomplish your ministry that he's asked you to do in your life, whatever your calling is. Number 4, we all fall short. No one but Jesus has or ever will live a perfect life. We will and do fall short of his perfection. When we do fall short, we should be poor in spirit. We should mourn our brokenness. We should be meek as we put God's purpose over our own. And we should desire to make right choices as we hunger for righteousness. You should hunger for that righteousness. You see, some of us are empty here today because we've tried everything in the world and the world has let us down. People let you down. Money lets you down. Health lets you down. Treasures let you down. Everything that this world has to offer is perishing. And you will be let down by all the materialistic things that you have. Dead people don't take anything with them except for Jesus Christ. That's the only thing you can take to the grave. God has the game rigged. You're not getting out alive unless you have Jesus Christ. It's rigged. You see, there's a consequence to sin because sin brings us away from God. But consequences brings us back to him. Do you understand that? If you let people get away with something, they're going to continue getting away with it because there's no consequence. Why do we have jails in America? Shouldn't we be forgiving and graceful and just let all the criminals run free? It's wrong to lock somebody up. We should be forgiving, right? We expect God to forgive us like that. Somebody said an all-loving God would never send anybody to hell. Why do we have jails if we think that God is so good and he should let everybody run free? Why do we let everybody run free? Isn't that ludicrous to let the jails open and let the murderers and the thieves out? Somebody breaks into your home and threatens you and you have a way to protect yourself, will you not do it? Or will you just let them kill you? Am I speaking truth? No, if you have a firearm or some kind of weapon, you're going to protect yourself, aren't you? You're going to give that person a consequence if they try something against you. God does that with us. We need consequences to keep straight. Because if we don't have a consequence, we'll never come to him. But the good thing is that the choice is easy, and it's free, and it's simple. And God gives it to each and every one of us. That choice is free will. You can make it today if you like. Jesus' fulfillment of the law brings us victory and salvation. We have no righteousness of our own. We need Jesus to save us.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.